Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website TWR360. That's TWR360.org. Just type in Hope for Today in the search bar and you'll find the available teaching on TWR360.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Last week on Hope for Today, we began a study from Luke chapter 19. This is Luke's account of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Now remember, Zacchaeus was a Jew, but he was a tax collector for the Roman government. So he was despised as a traitor by his fellow Jewish neighbors. As we began our study, I said that Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus outlines for us the steps by which all seekers arrive at seeing Jesus. And the first step that we looked at was the inclination or the desire to see. Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. In fact, his desire was so strong, he was willing to lay aside his dignity as a grown man and climb up into a tree just so he could get a glimpse of Jesus. And then the second step was the invitation to see. When Jesus looked up into that tree and saw Zacchaeus, he said, "Come down, because I'm coming to be a guest at your house today." Jesus invited Zacchaeus to see him with his heart and his soul, not just with his physical eyes. Now, let's resume our study, and to begin, I will read Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." What was it that changed Zacchaeus from a cold, calculating tax collector to one who was filled with joy at the prospect of hosting Jesus? It was the invitation of Jesus, the unconditional love and acceptance offered in the midst of a hostile crowd. Let's notice the reaction of the crowd. They all began to grumble that Jesus was going to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. In their eyes, Zacchaeus was a sinner because he was a tax collector and because of his character. We're left with the impression that all this is happening right there in the street as Jesus and Zacchaeus are headed to the tax commissioner's house. But Zacchaeus isn't the only one given an invitation to see. No, this crowd was being invited to see life and people through the eyes of Jesus. They were looking at Zacchaeus through the eyes of hostility, because most likely they had suffered personally from his extortion. They saw him as despicable, incorrigible, a blot on their community and their race. Why would Jesus pay attention to him? You know, friend, it's always this way. Those who see themselves as better than their fellow men will grumble about God's acts of mercy. Their blindness and jealousy are fatal. But Jesus saw Zacchaeus' heart, and he knew it was tender. It was longing for something better. He sees your heart, too. He knows some people will react to his work of grace in your life. But you know something? You're not responsible for what others do. You're responsible to decide whether or not you'll accept Jesus' invitation to see him as he really is, and to experience life as he truly meant it to be experienced. If you've never truly seen Jesus before, today is your day of opportunity. The invitation is open. And when you say yes to Jesus' invitation, you will see and experience life in a whole new dimension, just like Zacchaeus was about to do. Which brings us to the next step in seeing Jesus. It is the revelation of sight. It's amazing how quickly one moves from blindness to sight when they accept the invitation of Jesus. Now, we don't know all that passed through Zacchaeus' mind, but the transformation was, from our vantage point, almost instantaneous. It's possible that the angry murmurs of the crowd alerted Zacchaeus to the consequences of his earlier choices. You know, he's defrauded them. These are his neighbors and his countrymen. Before this, he wouldn't have cared a whit. But now he sees the effects of his greed, and the thought brings him pain. At any rate, let's look at the evidence of Zacchaeus' newly revealed sight. Obviously, he's still a baby in his understanding of spiritual things, but he's aware that something deep within him has changed significantly, and he's willing to respond in the only way he knows how. He will make restitution. He will do all he can to right those wrongs. Now the text says he stood, and this word is used of the posture of one who's making a formal declaration. Just like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 18, Zacchaeus wanted to be noticed, but for very different reasons than that self-righteous fellow. Zacchaeus likely made his declaration in verse 4 while standing on the steps of his own house. Now, doesn't that make sense that he would make this declaration before the very people whom he had wronged? Those who were grumbling that Jesus would spend time with such a sinner? It is true, Zacchaeus had wronged his fellow men individually, but the wrong they suffered was common to all of them, or at least most of them. I believe there's a principle here relating to forgiveness and restitution. When offenses are given publicly, they need to be confessed publicly. What Zacchaeus had done wasn't done, as we say, in a corner. Everyone knew what he and his fellow tax collectors were doing, and now he admitted publicly in their presence what he'd done. Not only did he admit what he'd done, he publicly stated his intention to remedy the situation. First, he devoted half of his possessions to meet the needs of the poor. That was pure generosity toward those less fortunate than himself. He was under no obligation whatsoever to do that. Next, he stated that, as far as I have defrauded anyone by false accusation, I will restore four times what I took. Now, the text uses the word if, but not in the sense that we use it. That Zacchaeus had defrauded others was beyond question. Now he was willing, even eager, to make restitution. The Mosaic law would have required him to restore what he'd taken and add 1/5 or 20%. So he went way beyond that requirement by restoring four times as much as he'd gotten dishonestly. Restitution is good proof of a genuine change of heart. Today, many people want to be forgiven, but they don't want to pay the price of restitution. They often fail to relive their offense through the eyes of the person they've offended. Zacchaeus wasn't like that. He eagerly offered to make restitution. His actions proved that something had happened in his heart. And that leads us to the final step in seeing Jesus. It is the proclamation of salvation. Jesus said, "This day salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham." Salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house, but it wasn't yet a day old. And what was the source of that salvation? It was his exercise of faith, just like his ancestor Abraham. It's true, he was a son of Abraham by birth, just like most of the people in the crowd. But now he is a partaker of Abraham's faith. He's a true son of Abraham. Here he stands, transformed in the presence of the crowd. And why did salvation come to this house? Because Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save those who are lost," and I might add, like this one. The people in the crowd that day saw Zacchaeus as beneath them. He was a sinner. He was a lost cause. In their eyes, his occupation and his lifestyle choices had severed any possible connection with God. So why would Jesus choose to spend time with him instead of one of them? After all, they were so much better than him. People grumbled, as we said, that Jesus would go to the house of a sinner. But that house was no longer polluted. It had been redeemed. There was a new spirit and a new master occupying that house. It had been a place of darkness and greed. Now it was filled with light and generosity. The lost had been found and saved. My friend, the same transformation that took place in Zacchaeus' house can take place in your house too. If you have an inclination to see Jesus, if you're willing to risk your reputation and your dignity, Jesus will come to your house too. If you take the first step in seeing Jesus, he will meet you right there with the next step. He will give you an invitation to see him and know him. He will invite himself to your house if only you will respond to his invitation. Zacchaeus responded joyfully to Jesus' invitation. He came down from the tree quickly, and then Jesus led him to the next step. Zacchaeus saw his life through the eyes of Jesus and through the eyes of the crowd. His faith in Jesus revealed to him things he hadn't seen before. And you know, friend, inviting Jesus into your life will do that for you. You will see people differently, and you will see how, having offended them, you have offended Jesus too. When you come to this realization and you are willing to do what Zacchaeus did, Jesus will proclaim to you, "This day, salvation has come to this house." You will have completed the steps to seeing Jesus, and eternal life will be yours. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Seeing Jesus. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail, that's M-A-I-L, at heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Seeing Jesus. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That's mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. When you go to their homepage, just type in Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in Luke's Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.